Good morning, everyone. I've gotten a lot of questions about Las Vegas over the past year. So I figured I'd talk a little bit this morning about Las Vegas. I just got back from there. Took hopefully my last trip out there. It really, you know, it wasn't for the Fremont Canopy per se. It was an OP sales meeting, but they were trying to, you know, get everybody excited for the new year and use that job to get people excited. This morning I want to talk to you about resolve. You really can't go to a place like Las Vegas. Actually, how many of you have been to Las Vegas? I know you hate it. I know Mike and Valerie have been there. Yep, well. Yeah, it'll blow your mind. It really will. You can't go to a place like Las Vegas if you're a Christian without resolve. It will ruin you. It will ruin you quickly. Who do you think of from the Bible whenever you think of the word resolve? What are you resolved from? What did we talk about this morning? The Bible class out front. What are you resolved to get away from? We're resolved to get out of the darkness. Who do you think of from the Bible that's trying to escape the darkness? I mean, the men and women who really stand out. Joseph is a big one in my mind. Somebody just said Paul. Man, Paul, yeah, you see the contrast, right? New Year's resolutions. How many of you set them? How many of you have broken them already? I had like 30. Several of those are spiritual resolutions. I hope you set some as well. And so far, I've been keeping up with those, and Lord willing, I'll continue those through the rest of the year. Being resolute, that's a powerful word. It's a powerful concept. To be resolved. I think we know what that means and what that word carries. Are we resolved to escape the darkness? Are we resolved to purify ourselves and be godly? Resolutions are often signed at the end of conflicts or battles, right? What battle were we waging before we became Christians? It doesn't end. But you certainly become aware of the conflict, right? Steve will be talking about this on Wednesday in our Romans class. There's opposing wills that are in conflict with one another. The will of the flesh versus the will of the spirit. What is it that we really want to do? What is it that the flesh really wants to do? We need to be honest with ourselves. We're not protected by these walls. We're not protected by one another. And deep down inside all of us, we really want to do bad things. Right? And it takes sheer will and resolve to overcome that battle. We have to choose a side. You can't go into a place like Las Vegas, Nevada without choosing a side. You better go in there with some resolve or you're in trouble. Negotiate with yourself. We negotiate with other people all the time, whether you realize it or not. But you need to take your thoughts captive. Think about why you're doing what you're doing, why you're saying what you're saying, why you're pondering what you're pondering. And you need to take those thoughts captive. And negotiate with yourself. If I was another brother and sister, if I was God right here with me, what would be in my best interest? Is this really what I should be doing? Is this really what I should be thinking and saying? Barter with yourself and choose a side. It's an amazing piece of architecture. Fremont Street Canopy. This is where I've been the past year. Things have been going on. It's the world's largest sign. Well, at least in North America. If you go to China, there's a few bigger ones, but I don't think it's, those ones aren't continuous. They wrap around buildings or are kind of broken up in some ways. But this sign stretches four city blocks, pretty big. Believe it or not, I've been up there. I've been, it was more down here on this section when we were doing the installation. I got up right about there and helped with that part of the install. There's a lot of people that visit this street. You see all the people down here. It gets packed. I mean, on the weekends, this fills up. You can hardly breathe. But it's a pretty amazing piece of architecture. Really. When we talk about light and darkness, people look up at the light. They go there to look at that this sign. And they have light shows in the evening. Every couple hours, they start a new light show, and they do this till about 2 a.m. in the morning. And folks admire it for a little bit. But pretty soon, rest assured, they start to focus on things going on underneath this canopy, not up here. Right. There's a lot of bad stuff going on underneath that canopy. I mean, it's to the extent that sometimes I question, like, why am I doing this job? Because our signs are used in front of some pretty shady businesses. But then I think to myself, well, you know, I could be making cups. And cups are used for a lot of bad things, right? I could be making paper. There's been a lot of bad things written on paper. So I wouldn't say that there's any, you know, it's not a lot of bad content per se that they're playing up there. But man, everything that goes under that canopy, people look up for 15 minutes, and then they look right back down and start focusing on whatever it is that they're there for, which is usually not good. You've got to be resolved when you're going to a place like this. What about God's canopy? Have you ever looked at the light show and admired it? I still have a pretty vivid memory of being with my grandparents whenever I was younger, and we went outside and ate oranges, and it was dark outside. It was a full moon, and we just sat there and admired it. It's one of the few times I've really done that in my life, but boy, that I have a pretty vivid memory of doing that whenever I was little. How long do we admire it before we turn and we just go right back to the earth? Really don't have focus on the architect. Some people wonder that. They look at the Fremont Street canopy and they're like, wow, man, who did this? This is amazing. Who designed this? And if you work out the right deal in the contract, you can get your name up there. LG did it before we did, so they had LG up there, but we didn't negotiate that part of the contract. So I don't think Watchfire is going to, but everybody knows it's Watchfire. What about the master architect? Do we look up and consider the master architect? Or is our focus returned somewhere else? Are we focused on things underneath God's canopy rather than above it? A verse here from Job: or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb, when I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? How many of us are really resolved whenever sin is close by? Remember, God gave Cain this morning, right? It was close by. He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. These walls don't keep us safe from sin. I was thinking this morning as we were going through the class, by the way, this morning's class was, I think, the best one yet. Lots of golden nuggets in that one. Really good. I forgot my point. How many of us are really resolved when sin is close by? Do we prepare ahead of time? Are we accepting of it when we leave this place? Are we dealing with secret sins where we just easily give in to the darkness and we're not prepared and we're not resolved to really overcome? We're not really resolved to make ourselves better. We're not really resolved to follow Christ. Deep down, we're just focused on the earth and doing whatever we want to do right now. Can you and will you survive it? Or do you linger? Do you fantasize? I stole a verse from Steve's lesson. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. We need to be honest with ourselves in that deep down inside, we want to do evil. We're all very capable of some pretty bad things. There isn't a person in here who's not capable of murder. And everything between telling a small little white lie to your mom and dad to that, the Christian is committed to, resolved to, escape the darkness and control themselves. To control your spirit and to align it with God's light. We sing the song, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. No longer to linger. There are a lot of people lingering in Las Vegas under that canopy. They've got these little rings drawn out on the floor, and people, you can buy a spot, and you can perform there in that spot. If you're in that spot and you didn't pay to be there, you're going to get kicked out of that spot. I assure you that. There are some people doing some pretty bad stuff in those spots. People sit there and stare. The goal is to stop people on the street as they're walking by and to get them to stare and linger. I read that Las Vegas became Sin City back in 1906, but I don't remember what for. I think it had something to do with alcohol and trying to do it illegally. In modern times, it means much more than that. I think most people at least realize, whether they're biblical or not, they do understand what the concept of a sin is, that it's something wrong. And in modern times, there's a lot of wrong things that go on there. People know that. There are intoxicated people everywhere. Trust me, they are everywhere underneath that canopy. There are people that are high in public. It's not illegal there to do that. You will smell marijuana walking down the street. If you want to get high on secondhand marijuana smoke, you can do it there. There are strippers on the street. They got everything hanging out, a little bit of tape. They got girls that are on all the bars that are outside dancing. You go into every casino, there are girls on all the tables dancing. There are guys who work at the strip clubs who are there to protect these dancers so you don't get carried away with them. Constantly offering you cards. Hey, come tonight, come tonight, come to this club, come to that club. You know what's interesting? I mean, there are girls everywhere. But then right in the middle of the canopy, there's only two Chippendales guys. And they're usually not too busy. I don't know. I find that very odd. But clearly there's a distinction between what draws men in and what draws women in. You know, they're all smiling. Well, actually, there's the ones on the ground tend to smile. The ones that are just up on the tables tend to look pretty destitute in their eyes, really. But they don't love you. They don't love you. And they're there to pull you in and get you to spend money. There's gambling at every turn. You can turn into a casino at any point. All the doors are open. It's gambling. As soon as you get off the airport, there's slot machines. They're everywhere. Prostitution. You'll see hookers that sit in the seat next to you. See them coming off the elevator. I saw two girls on the elevator. They both looked at the elevator, had mirrors all inside of it, and they turn around and start checking themselves out, making sure they look good. Live party, entertainment. It's loud music, pumping music, dance music. Not that there's anything wrong with loud music, but in certain contexts, it's there to get the ball a-turning. There are deeper issues. Those are the easy ones, the ones easier to spot. There's extreme addiction there. There are druggies all over the place. You just walk right off the street. There are homeless people. Saw one guy, his feet, they looked like shoes. They were completely black. They are addicted to drugs. They will come up and solicit you for beer money so that they can go either get more drugs or more beer. And they get laughed at. Saw a guy pull down his pants the last time we were there. We were eating lunch. He exposed himself. Three Fremont Street security guards came up and escorted him to the other side of the street, and they came back and they were just laughing. There's pride there that is just... people are glamming themselves up, right? Dress up, look as seductive as they can, as pretty as they can. Focus on the hair and makeup and jewelry and sexy outfits and all of this. And it's just people that are looking in the mirror. They want attention. They're there for attention. They sculpt their bodies for self-promotion. They're really there to make money. They don't love you. And you don't love them. A lot of people stumbling around making fools of themselves. They're just completely drunk. Some of them have their friends there, so at least they don't completely lose it and end up at the police station. What's really sad is this place is just godless. You stand there and you wonder, is there anybody else here like me? I sat down next to one of the sales guys. He won one of the... we had a dinner in the evening. I had a really nice steak. It was a filet mignon. Although everybody else got rare, I got medium well. I don't understand that. Everybody can, how they can eat their steak that way. But we were all assembled there at that dinner, and one of the sales guys who won the awards, I was sitting next to him. He gave a speech. The VP said, hey, you know, you guys should really talk to Tim and do something like him. He really gets involved with his community. He's been doing preaching in prisons for years. So I talked to him about it afterwards and just like, hey, you know, get more information. And then he said he was non-denominational. Of course, he was drinking a glass of wine. So I thought, well, you know, maybe that's, you know, some people do that. I understand. Just, you know, don't get drunk. But then he started cussing. I'm like, man. What are we doing, you know? Even the people that for a moment you think are resolved, you realize that you're not equally yoked. And that's why young folks, we don't talk about it up here much, but when it comes to marriage, you don't have to get married until you're 30, all right? And you don't learn that lesson until you're 30, and you realize you could have waited until you were 30, and you would have been perfectly fine. And that's the truth. Get it out of your head that you think you have to get married tomorrow. You don't. If you found somebody you love, great, but you don't have to. I don't even remember where I was going with that point. There was a point there. It'll be all right. Well, I'm coming up on my 20 minutes. Actually, I'm a little over, so I better hurry up. There's no light in a place like this. All right, so if you're going to go there, you better be prepared. It doesn't have to be Las Vegas. It could be other places in the world. But if you know you're going into a place where there's no light, you better have some resolve or you will get sucked in. You will start staring. You will start lingering. You will start fantasizing. You will start considering things that you shouldn't do. What do we do in private? You know, it's interesting to think about. In one way, it's good that the people were there doing that. At least they're transparent about it. Not everything there is transparent, but a lot of the stuff that's bad that's going on, hey, at least they're willing to be out there and admitting it. What goes on in the dark? What goes on behind closed doors? Sometimes that's dually bad, because not only is the main sin being committed, but we're lying and being deceitful, both to ourselves and to other people. But it's not always good to be transparent either. I don't want to lead it that way, because those people build each other up. Hey, we're all in this together. Hey, they're doing it. All right. So it's a double-edged sword as well. But it's equally as dangerous for us who are behind closed doors and can commit the same sins that these other people commit. We are not safe or excluded. You have to be resolved when you're in private, not just in public. How do we become resolved? We've talked about the what, the how. How do we become resolved? Read the Bible every day. This should be one of your New Year's resolutions. If it's not, it should be. There's no excuse. How can that help you be resolved? I guarantee you, if you do that every day, a little bit every day, that when those situations come upon you, when whatever it is that tempts you comes upon you, you will have a verse flash through your head, and it will at least say, man, I shouldn't be doing this. It is hard to keep those verses at bay when they're fresh in mind. And there was a reason that God commanded Saul to do this. Every day. Pray every day. You'll feel like you're betraying yourself if you give in to temptation. You'll feel like you're betraying God. It's the proximity. The closer you are to God on a daily basis, the more those things are going to pop in your mind when temptation is right outside the door. Ponder your mortality. None of us are living forever. The day of death is coming, and we don't know when. And if your stress levels are high, or if you're older and you're worried about heart attacks, stress, and strokes, I guarantee you it does not help that if you're in conflict with God, you just don't have the peace of mind you should have. Ponder your mortality. I said at the beginning, capture your thoughts. And this takes resolve, because you have to tell yourself, I'm going to start being conscious to catch myself in certain moments. Why am I thinking this right now? And am I really going to let myself linger on this right now? Or am I going to stop and put it to an end? Capture your thoughts. Replace the bad with the good. If you don't, you'll just find yourself back there in that bad moment or that bad thought. You've got to replace it. Have faith. Sometimes we work really hard to try to figure everything out. And you won't figure everything out. Stop trying to figure everything out. You will not figure everything out while you're here. You better have faith. This is a gospel of faith. It's not a gospel of knowing everything. And it never will be. And that's what the world wants. Well, either you show me that you know everything. That's not that way. It's a gospel of faith because we look up at the lights and we believe based on the creation that He is. Help our children know God. It's really hard to betray your children as well. If you don't have children or have raised them, help some. You'll be less likely to betray them. Choose a side. Stop playing in the middle. And it's your decision. You made it. Be resolute in it. We need to look through the lens of God. It's hard to do. We are not God. But we need to see other people the way that God sees other people. I can be very, I can hold other people in contempt pretty easily. It may be that in a certain day they're just irritating. You're not moving fast enough. I don't like the way you look. I don't know. It can be 100 different things. But we need to realize that we're all created of God, by God, have the breath of God, have the same light shown upon us by God. Other people need our help. Other people are like us. They're struggling like we are. And when we start thinking about helping them and taking action to help them, we'll be more resolved. That's what I think about Las Vegas. And I'm at 27 minutes, so I'm going to sit down and be quiet. I hope you can be more resolved in your walk. And whether or not you go to a place that's like Sodom and Gomorrah or Corinth, doesn't matter. You're facing the struggle every day in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own house, in your own community. You will not survive. You will not see God unless you resolve to escape the darkness.